Today is Thursday, July 25th. Today we've got a lot for you. We're talking about the Mueller testimony, including a breakdown of some of the key moments, and Puerto Rico's governor makes history with his announcement, plus a new kind of prosthetic arm, and another new video streaming option. Then hang out after the news for Thing to Know Thursday's bonus interview about deepfake videos, why they matter, and how you can tell they're not real. Today's episode is brought to you in part by the University of Texas at El Paso, or UTEP. UTEP Connect offers flexible online programs and is accepting applications for fall 2019. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. And that's a wrap. 7 hours of testimony from former special counsel Robert Mueller and two different House hearings have come and gone. Of course, he spoke about his two-year investigation and his final written report. Remember, this was the first time he's answered questions about that report and only the second time he's talked publicly about it at all. So here are some of the highlights from the hours of testimony. First of all, as he said he would, Mueller pretty much stuck to the findings in his report. In fact, CNN says they counted and he refused to answer questions more than 200 times, pretty much trying to avoid giving either party a dramatic moment to run with. And many of his answers were one-word answers, often just confirming quotes directly from that written report. But even with that, Democrats did highlight a few points they worked to get out there. Right at the beginning, for example, a top Democrat said President Trump has repeatedly claimed the report completely exonerates him of any crimes. Well, Mueller said Trump's statement is not really true. Also, Mueller agreed that his team tried for a year to get an interview with the president, and Trump refused. And in one fairly surprising moment, when asked if Trump's written responses to Mueller's questions under oath were incomplete and even untruthful, Mueller seemed to agree, saying, quote, generally. And in a lengthy response, at least for Mueller, he weighed in on President Trump's past praise for WikiLeaks, which may have helped Russia interfere in the U.S. election. Mueller said, quote, calling this problematic is an understatement, saying it gives a boost to illegal activity. In fact, Mueller spoke more directly, not about President Trump, but about Russia's interference in the 2016 election, adding that that same type of interference is still happening as we speak. As for Republicans, they too pushed Mueller on several issues, like when he was questioned about an FBI agent working on the investigation who apparently hated President Trump. Mueller said when he found out he had him reassigned, but didn't deny the hated part, which Republicans say show the investigation was biased. There were also moments when Mueller seemed to struggle in general. As the Washington Post reports, he stumbled over his words at times and had to ask for many of the questions to be repeated. In fact, he even caused some confusion. First, he said the reason he didn't indict the president was simply because he's not allowed to indict a sitting president. But then later he came back and said, actually, it's just that they did not reach a determination about whether the president committed a crime. And most experts say the testimony did not seem to do much to change opinions about impeachment. And so President Trump declared victory. Fox News reports he said Mueller did a horrible job and his Republican colleagues were great. And overall, he called the testimony a loss for Democrats. Though Dems would definitely disagree, and they say they hope the American people were paying attention. Of course, there were many more things that happened. We can't cover it all here. You can read more about the testimony in today's show notes, or check out a more in-depth breakdown of Mueller's testimony from our friends over at the Pantsuit Politics podcast. You know you never get opinions from me, but they will provide analysis and their own opinions in tomorrow's episode. That's Friday. The Pantsuit Politics podcast has two hosts, one who leans left, the other who leans right, and they still have open-minded civil conversations despite their political differences. Just search for Pantsuit Politics in your podcast app or go to pantsuitpoliticsshow.com. Puerto Rico's governor is giving in and now says he'll step down. He made the announcement last night. The AP reports he'll be the first governor to resign in the modern history of Puerto Rico. NBC News says the Puerto Rican legislature gave him an ultimatum yesterday, resign or we'll force you out with impeachment. But now Governor Ricardo Rosello says he will resign starting August 2nd, that's the end of next week, giving him time to ensure an orderly transition, as he says. Puerto Rico's Justice Secretary Wanda Vazquez will take his place as governor. Remember, hundreds of thousands of protesters have been calling for Rosello to leave office, all after messages were leaked that showed he said vulgar, homophobic, and misogynistic things. He's apologized for what he said, but many protesters felt that wasn't enough. Now, after days of massive protests and him refusing to step down, it seems he'll leave after all. Some breast implants are being recalled because they may be causing a rare form of cancer. USA Today reports the textured implants are associated with a certain type of lymphoma, which affects the immune system. These kinds of implants aren't super common in the U.S., but still, the FDA says they're linked to nearly 500 cases of this cancer worldwide, and so far a dozen women have died. The main symptoms to look out for are swelling or pain around the implant. Scientists have come up with a prosthetic arm that lets people feel touch again, like when you hold your loved one's hand. NPR reports a research team updated an already made prosthetic arm. They basically figured out a way to mimic what's happening in the brain and body that allows people to feel things. They do it by using electrodes. Gizmodo says the technology is still limited, but it's promising. Of course, it's all still in the early testing phase, so these prosthetic arms are not readily available. Researchers hope to get approval from the FDA soon to start testing the tech on more people. All right, we have much more news ahead, but first, a quick break to thank our sponsor today, Babbel. Babbel is a language learning app that will get you to speak that language you've always wanted to know and speak it with confidence. I love that Babbel makes it so easy to get started and to keep going. That's key for me. Lessons are broken up into just 10 to 15 minutes, so it's not overwhelming, and I especially love to use Babbel right before I go on a trip. Babbel is designed to quickly get you speaking your new language within weeks. Babbel's teaching method has been proven effective across multiple studies, and you can focus on having real-life conversations. So give it a try. Babbel is the number one selling language learning app in the world for a reason. And you can try Babbel for free. Go to Babbel.com or download the app to try Babbel for free. That's Babbel, B-A-B-B-E-L.com, or download the app, Babbel.com, and try it for free. Start speaking that new language with confidence. Now back to the news. It's official now. The FTC fined Facebook $5 billion, the largest amount the Federal Trade Commission has ever fined a tech company. Facebook has been expecting this, though, and even put billions of dollars aside to prepare. CBS News says critics aren't so sure this penalty is enough. A $5 billion fine is less than a tenth of Facebook's $55 billion in revenue just last year. Remember, the FTC started investigating Facebook last year after it found out the data firm Cambridge Analytica got its hands on the personal info of millions of Facebook users without permission. Facebook says it will pay the fine, but there's more to this penalty. The company is also now required to start an independent privacy oversight commission. CNBC says Facebook will have to submit quarterly certifications to the FTC showing it's following the new privacy program. And if not, more penalties. Another streaming service is in the works, this one from AT&T. CNET says AT&T does already have DirecTV Now, Watch TV, and HBO Max, but the company is adding another one called AT&T TV. There aren't a lot of details about this streaming service yet or how it will be different than the ones the company already owns, but The Verge reports it will likely cost less, and AT&T TV is planning a trial for later this year. By the way, AT&T says its new streaming service, HBO Max, will eventually offer live TV, including sports and possibly news. HBO Max is said to be available next year. Michael Phelps is no longer the world record holder in the 200-meter butterfly. A 19-year-old swimmer just beat his record. CBS Sports reports Phelps set the 200-meter fly record when he was just 15, and he held the record for a record amount of time for a men's swimming event, 18 years. But now Krzysztof Milak of Hungary has the best time ever for the 200-meter fly, beating Phelps by 0.78 seconds. Of course, Phelps is still a record holder. He's held the 400-meter record for 17 years. And also in sports, the 2020 Olympic medals were just unveiled, and they're made from old gadgets. Sports Illustrated reports the Tokyo 2020 organizers had to collect enough gadgets to extract the required amount of precious metals. And now this will be the first year the metals are made 100% from recycled material. The 2020 Olympic Summer Games start exactly 1 year from yesterday. And that's it for the main news today, but it's now time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know, only on Thursdays after the news. This week, we're talking about deepfake videos. What are they? How can you spot them? And what's being done now to try and get ahead of this emerging technology? In fact, the Pentagon is working with researchers around the country on this, and today we're talking with a leader within one of those programs. Aaron Lawson is an assistant director with SRI International. They are working to develop technology that can identify these fake videos so they can't fool us. Here's my conversation breaking it all down with Aaron Lawson. Hi, Aaron. Thanks so much for coming on The Newsworthy.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
So I first want to establish, what is a deepfake video? And do you know about how many are estimated to be circulating the internet right now?
Yeah, so deepfake, technically speaking, is a very specific type of video manipulation that uses deep learning techniques, deep neural networks. It's an emerging new technology that started maybe 3 or 4 years ago and is picking up a lot of steam because it's gotten a lot of press.
So explain a little bit more about what makes it a deepfake.
So the deepfake part is the way that the video is generated. So rather than take an audio clip and slow it down to make someone sound drunk or to imitate someone's voice or to do some other manipulation that's sort of manual, a deepfake is a way of generating a video of a person speaking, basically using machine learning, taking hundreds and hundreds of hours of someone's face and voice and training a model that you then direct it to what to say. So kind of like when you hear speech synthesis, for example, where you have on your computer, for visually impaired people, you have a voice that speaks and reads text off of your computer for you. That's very much the same idea as a deep fake, in the sense that it's taking text and reading it out in someone's voice. Now, in the case of speech synthesis, that someone is just an off-the-shelf persona that you're only using to be able to understand the content. In the deep fake world, what they would do is take a deep learning model and train it, for example, to sound like President Obama, which, you know, some people use as an example. And the reason they often choose people like President Obama is because he has thousands of hours of speech available and video available online to be able to generate this with.
And as the technology continues to advance, as well as more and more people are putting their voice and video out online, that's why you're talking about it being a more of a dangerous thing in the future.
Yeah, it's something that as people put more of their voice and face out there, you're giving them the data to train this system to sound like you and look like you. And a lot of the worry would be in the future, could it be used to blackmail people, for example, and say, I've made a video that now looks like you're saying something awful. You know, give me money or I'll release this.
So are there any signs that the average person can look for to know that this is a deep fake video versus a real one?
It's often the case that in the visual part, you'll see a border around the face where things are moving that wouldn't normally be there in an actual video. And it's because those quickly changing areas are difficult to model properly, and they often look a little weird. Another part would be, for example, you may see the mouth moving, but you don't see the eyes moving as much or in the right way. Or the voice is doing something that requires a certain facial expression that's not there. And the work that we're doing a lot of times is, can we detect the crucial mismatch between, for example, what someone's saying and how their lips are moving to be able to detect that this isn't really an actual video of that person saying that, but saying something else.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit more about the work that you are doing. And is the ultimate hope that the average person doesn't have to worry about it because your technology will be used on various platforms to take these down?
Yeah, I think that's the ultimate goal, is to give people the forensic tools to be able to investigate this and say, you know, this video that's causing a lot of press in the media isn't actually authentic. Or better yet, that the press would use this and say, we got this video clip in, and we've been able to use these tools to say not only that it's not real, but that this, this, and this was done to it to create it. So they can then explain to people how they know that it's not real. And so a lot of what we do is to make the process transparent of the detection of these artifacts. So we try to keep things as explainable as possible, rather than to say, we're going to train a giant deep neural network that you stick in videos and out the other side comes fake or not. Okay. Maybe it would be effective, but you have no way of giving people a rationale as to why this one's fake and why this one is not fake. So transparency is really big for what we're doing.
So I know there was a recent situation where there was a video circulating of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi that had been slowed down to sort of make her look drunk or that she was on drugs or something. Obviously, that one was not using artificial intelligence or machine learning, so it was not a deep fake.
Yeah, I mean, I think they may not be deep fakes, for example. There's most of the stuff that's out there that people are looking at are actually not deep fakes, even though they might call it that. It might be no one's done anything to really change the video. They've just changed the voice. So there's a classic video of Jordan Peele and Barack Obama where People think of that as a great example of a deep fake, where Jordan Peele is doing an imitation of Barack Obama, and it looks like Barack Obama is saying all kinds of weird stuff. None of that is actually deep or actual machine learning at all. It's just a human imitating Barack Obama very well, and then aligning, making it look like what he's saying lines up with Barack Obama's lips. So visually speaking, there's nothing changed there. It's just an actual human imitating it.
What's the timeline look like when deepfakes could become even more of a problem if nothing's done?
Yeah, that's very hard to judge. I mean, things tend to move very quickly. And often it only takes one deepfake to be successful to really make a difference. So I think that's probably, you know, within the next few years, you'll see that. On the other hand, like I said, it's maybe easier to do a non-deepfake and make a successful video. I mean, if you want to think of the Nancy Pelosi one as successful, that was technology that's literally 50 years old, making a big sensation. So I would say anytime from now till 2 or 3 years from now, you'll probably see something big happen.
Why is this work so important? What are the potential consequences of deepfakes?
That if people start to lose sort of faith in what they're seeing and hearing, then, you know, truth becomes this fungible thing that is an opinion rather than something that, you know, you can verify. So I think it's very important that, you know, people be confident that what, you know, large news organizations are showing them is not essentially tricking the news organization into reporting something that isn't real.
And you can find a link to learn more about our guest and this topic in today's show notes, along with links to all the stories we mentioned in this episode. Just go to thenewsworthy.com, click episodes, and find today's date, or you can find all the sources in your podcast app. As always, The Newsworthy is here for you by 4 in the morning every weekday. Thank you for listening, and we will chat again tomorrow. Have a great day. Hey, it's Erica here. A quick reminder that today's episode is brought to you in part by the University of Texas at El Paso, or UTEP. UTEP is part of the country's largest university system, the University of Texas system, and it has a suite of fully online degree programs known as UTEP Connect, created to make sure they remove as many barriers as possible from getting a degree. Great for the person who thought getting a degree was unreachable due to a job or kids or other obligations. Well, UTEP makes it possible. UTEP is accepting applications for fall 2019 right now. Go to utepconnect.utep.edu or call 1-800-684-UTEP for more information. That's utepconnect.utep.edu.